Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. Sitting across from me is...
Mike Cosentino's right here, and we got a studio full this morning.
Yes, we do, Mike.
We got a crowd in here, but that's
Do you know
great.
Who any of these people are, Mike?
We do. We got a great group of Democratic candidates for statewide offices here. We're going to start ladies first here. Sandra Kennedy and Bill Mundell are both running for Corporation Commission. You're going to hear from them in a second. We got Mark Manoil here, who's running for State Treasurer. And we're going to hear from everybody today, and it's going to be kind of a free-for-all. No, it's not. We're going to be wonderful and organized and Democratic perspective-y. We'll be all perspective-y. So Sandra Kennedy was first elected with more than 1 million votes to the Arizona Corporation Commission in 2008. Matter of fact, as you will hear, that she was the last Democrat to be elected statewide in Arizona. She ran with Bill Mundell as a part of the solar team, but she's real big on solar energy in Arizona and a fierce consumer advocate. In 2013, Kennedy made headlines when she was first to sound the alarm about the growing culture of corruption in the Corporation Commission, and that's for sure. She has been served in the state legislature. She's served in the House. She's served in the state Senate. She's got a great experience on the Corporation Commission, as does Bill Mundell, who also served in the Arizona legislature and previously. I guess I'm sure he's not going to like this, but I'm going to call him the grand old man of the Corporation Commission. He was on it in the early part of this millennium, this century. It sounds like it's been so long. But in 1999 to 2008, Bill Mundell was on the Arizona Corporation Commission. And so a lot of what the Corporation Commission was because of Bill Mundell's hard work. What it has become since then, since we're going to talk a lot about APS, we already have on Democratic
Well, that's what I wanted to ask, Mike. I want to ask the candidates at some point why they're running for Corporation Commission now it's been privatized and is a wholly owned subsidiary of APS and Pinnacle West. I mean, how can you guys be a public official of a privately owned corporation?
Well, we want to return the Corporation Commission, which I have dubbed it the Corruption Commission.
There you go.
We want to return it to the people, its rightful owner.
And that's why the commission was established, actually in territorial days. It was called the Railroad Commission because the framers of our state constitution were concerned about the power of the railroads. And at that time, Standard Oil, fast forward 100 years, and now we're concerned about the power of monopolies. And in particular, the biggest monopoly in the state, Pinnacle West, which is the holding company, the parent company of APS. And to your point, they elected Pinnacle West. APS elected two commissioners in 2014 when they spent at least $3.2 million against my running mate, Sandra Kennedy. And when I ran 2 years ago, they spent between $4 and $10 million to defeat me. And if you can believe this, one of the Republican candidates that's running right now, Eric Sloan, was the chairman of the political action committee for APS and Pinnacle West that ran the ads in supporting the Republicans. Again, and so if he's elected, yes, it will be solely owned by APS and Pinnacle West because he was the chairman of their political action committee in 2016.
Just to be clear, this is the very definition of corruption. You know, when you put somebody in charge of a utility that was the worked for it. I want to get this in, though. Bill Mundell, you talk about the Corporation Commission, the Arizona Corporation Commission, one of seven states that has elected corporation commissioners, which is very cool, by the way.
Well, in the early days, I think they were really concerned about monopolies.
Yes.
Right? And in those days, it was like they called it the octopus, the railroads controlled the rates of charging stuff. So people of Arizona wanted elected officials to overlook it. And so it seems like real betrayal to have the people that you're supposed to be
controlling and moderating and
limiting and
limiting what they do, buying the commission.
And
I mean, we can joke about it, but that's what they did, right?
But in essence, yes, that's what has occurred in the last, since 2013, they have 2012, they have bought the commission, and they have they don't hide it. They talk about what they can do and what they can make happen at the commission, and the commissioners, they don't seem to care.
Proud of it,
and
right?
Before your eyes glaze over completely, Bill Mundell calls this, and I'm sure other people do too, that the fourth branch of government. You know, just to review, you got the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branch, both at the state level and the federal level. But in Arizona, as many places, we have this governing body for public utilities.
And the other 37 states, the commissioners are appointed by the governor and serve at the pleasure of the governor.
Right.
So here in Arizona, they're elected, and as Sandra said, the commissioners are supposed to be there to protect customers against unjustified rate increases. And let me just say this because it goes to your point. For 100 years, the utilities, and in particular Pinnacle West APS, did not get involved in commission races because they knew it wasn't appropriate. It was unseemly to elect the very commissioners that are going to decide how much profit you make and what customers are going to pay for their electricity bill. That all changed a few years ago. And when I talk about APS, I'm not talking about the thousands of workers that keep the lights and air conditioning on. I'm talking about the very few at the top. And your audience, they're not going to believe this when I say it, but the current CEO of APS makes $19 million a year. He made $12 million last year. He got a big rate increase to $19 million because they got this unjustified rate increase. And Sandra, if she wants to, can talk about it's unjustified, this last rate increase that occurred.
Let's talk about that. That's important.
Well, the rate increase that they got last year in August, the commission staff had actually recommended that, you know, they were already making more money than they should be making, profit, you know, profit on top of a profit, and the staff recommended that they should not get a rate increase, and maybe they should be, you know, maybe refunding some money to their ratepayers. Well, the commission, the five-member commission, did just the opposite and gave them a rate increase. It doesn't make sense, but you can tell who has been bought and who's been paid off.
Well, you know, like you said, as a fourth branch of government, and that's how important it is in this state, in many states, but certainly here, that it's on par, that it has as much power as any other branch of government.
Yeah, tell us a little bit. I mean, it regulates electricity rates, right? But also water. It's where you sign up if you want to have a corporation in Arizona. It regulates corporations who, particularly if you release, go public in terms of your stock or bond. So it's a multiple agency. It's a multiple facets. In fact, it has so many facets that it's a little hard to keep track of, because we do focus mostly on what you guys have been talking about, which is APS and they're controlling their electric rates that people pay.
Well, next to the governor's office, it is the most powerful office in this state. Even though it's called the Corporation Commission, in other states call it the Public Utilities Commission or the Public Service Commission. And it is the place where people tend to forget that's where your rates are determined.
And I can just go back to that rate increase for a second. As Sandra said, it was unjustified both by staff and RUCO. And Sandra and I, back in November, called for a rehearing. We publicly called for a rehearing, issued a press release on it. And as a result of that, a woman down in Phoenix got over 3,000 online signatures on a petition for a rehearing. It's now scheduled. We don't have the date yet. But as a result of that, there's a rehearing. They shouldn't have gotten any rate increase at all, let alone the 4.5% increase that they said was going to occur. And people are seeing much higher increases on their bills than the 4.5%. And just one other thing, you were asked what they do. The commission also decides whether we have solar and renewable energy in Arizona. The commission decides whether or not you can put rooftop solar on your home.
And I asked that question. Just, you know, Bill Mundell, Sandra Kennedy, Mark Monell all just spoke at a recent Democrats at the Red Rock breakfast down the street. And so, and then we drag them over here to do a an interview. The now one of the questions was, and I is the struggle. You know, you have APS and SRP. You see the ads all the time, and they're talking about all the great things they do with solar energy, and all how they want to convert to solar energy. And that, and I know it's a PR thing. And I have rooftop solar on my home, so I know that there. You know, when it took APS 8 weeks to flip the switch, I was looking at my solar panels producing electricity, but they wouldn't come out and let me flip the switch for 8 weeks. And they, apparently that's still going. So there's this disconnect between the public image of APS's position on solar energy and what they're doing here. So the only thing that this rate payer is concluding is that they want to sell me my solar energy somehow. They want to make money on it rather than have rooftop solar like they do in many places in Europe where the consumer is actually controlling it. There's something going on. Go ahead.
Well, as you said, they are the disconnect. If they aren't controlling it, they don't want you controlling it.
I see.
They don't want you controlling your power.
So if they produce the power and they control the rates that you pay for the power, they don't care whether it's solar or something else. But if you have the panels on your roof, that kind of worries them.
Well, and you alluded to my age earlier. I'm old enough to remember Watergate. So I would say follow the money. Right. That's it. Follow the money, because if they build the solar facility or a fossil fuel plant or a transmission line, they get to increase everybody's rates. If a homeowner puts solar on their homes, they don't get to. That's the bottom line. If they build the solar, they get to increase everybody's rates, whether it's a solar homeowner or a non-solar homeowner. So that's why non-solar homeowners should be thankful that people are putting solar panels on their homes, even if they don't choose to do so, because it reduces their rates. Because, again, APS will raise rates if they build it themselves.
Yes, because they're paying nothing for the electricity that I'm producing.
Follow the money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, and that's the key, that they get to keep being a corporation that can raise rates.
When Sandra mentioned earlier about corruption, it wasn't the chairman of the commission, isn't he? Hasn't he been indicted for bribery? And he's scheduled for trial. I mean, we're not just using rhetoric, folks. There's actual facts, right?
It is actually true. I actually, in 2013, went down to the commission, wrote a letter, had it entered into the docket, and asked him to recuse himself from a case. And he just said that, you know, I was really blowing smoke and didn't know what I was talking about. Well, we have seen the results of him not recusing himself, and we've seen the results of his actions. He's been indicted. His wife has been indicted. A lobbyist has been indicted. And a utility owner, water utility owner, has been indicted. And you'll see that case coming up this May.
You know, when I ran 2 years ago, I was one of the Democratic nominees, and, you know, we talked about the corruption. And I'm sure a lot of people thought, as you indicated, that we were just, you know, exaggerating or crying wolf. And then, as Sandra just said, former chair was indicted. And I said at the time, I was on a show, Sunday Square Off, down in Phoenix, and they asked me about the indictments. And I said that it's the tip of the corruption iceberg at the commission. You may not see other instances of money. You may not be able to prove other instances of money under the table. But all Arizonans, whether you're Republican, a Democrat, an independent, a Green Party, or Libertarian, should be concerned about the coziness between the commissioners and the utilities they regulate. I mean, the chairman was taken to the Phoenix Country Club for lunch by the current CEO of APS while matters were pending. I mean, there's all sorts of instances that we don't have time to discuss. But the bottom line is he was indicted for bribery. And so that's what we're talking about. Going forward, cleaning up the commission and making it work for the people of Arizona so they're not unjustly, their rates are not unjustly raised.
Somebody asked the question, if there are five commissioners, right, and the two of you are elected, is that enough to be able to change things? If we elect two of you, and in some ways it's really a nonpartisan position, right? I mean, instinctively it's nonpartisan.
It used to be.
Yeah, but now it's become partisan, and unfortunately, Republicans who used to be reformers, in fact, we have a former Republican sitting across from us here. I guess the question is what happens now? Can you guys change the commission, the two of you?
I think the two of us would make a great team with Bob Burns. And I think Commissioner Burns has been out there fighting the fight all by himself.
He's a Republican.
He's Republican, and he's been asking the right questions but can't get the answers that he's been wanting to get. You know, who spent the money? Where did the money come from? How much did you spend? APS, open up your books. But instead, we've got four other commissioners who say, okay, we want the ratepayers to pay for our attorneys, but the ratepayers can't pay for your attorney. So he's got an attorney who's doing all of this for him pro bono,
wow,
while the other four commissioners, their attorneys are being paid for by the people of this state.
And APS and those four commissioners are on the same side in the lawsuit. And the judge recently ruled that he can't look at the books and records. It takes a majority vote of the commission. So that's why it's important to get Sandra and I elected. So we'll vote with Bob Burns to open up the books and records of APS to see how much ratepayer money they spent to defeat Sandra in 2014 and how much ratepayer money they spent to beat me and Tom Chabon in 2016. So that's why it's so important to get the two of us elected, and we'll team up with Bob Burns to get to the bottom of the dark, dirty money in Arizona.
We do want to say that you lost by razor-thin margins in 2016, 35,000 votes out of over
2.6 million.
Yeah.
Not that I'm counting.
And it's the ratepayers' money that's being used to secretly fund campaigns against you guys. And they've done campaigns against Republicans who support solar energy, haven't they, in the past or not?
Yes, they've done against Republicans support renewable energy and will stand up to them in the 2014 race. In fact, a woman from up in this area, Lucy Mason, you know, she was in the legislature, and they ran ads against her in the Republican primary because they want puppets. They want people that will do their bidding, that will not stand up to them like Sandra and I did for the years that we served on the commission. That's really the bottom line in this expenditure by them. And I said that they've spent ratepayer money to crush solar energy in Arizona, and now they're spending ratepayer money to crush public education. I don't know if you've seen the commercials up here that talk about how great the public education is in Arizona.
Oh,
that's,
yes.
That's why I always say Pinnacle West, because a lot of people don't know that Pinnacle West is the parent company of APS, spending money now to say how great public education is in Arizona. That's Pinnacle West getting involved in the education debate with ratepayer money.
Talking about that particular ad, talking about $1.5 billion, they don't mention the $4 billion that they took out of education because of tax cuts and whatnot, you know, previous to that. And then they found some teachers to do some testimonials and things.
So the thing is that they can kind of control the Republican primary, but they can't control the Democratic primary, APS and all these very
economic forces,
or can they? I may be wrong about that.
Well, that's not actually true. There is an operative, a candidate in the Democratic primary who is a Republican operative.
I see. They call? They have a name for that. But when somebody comes into the race, just a spoiler.
I call her the Manchurian candidate.
There you go.
That's my name. But let me just say this: the APS has taken over the Republican Party leadership in Arizona, and now elected officials, and now they're moving in to take over the Democratic Party. No, down in Phoenix, they have candidates running.
Wow.
There's a candidate running for this race is a treasurer, is the former APS executive.
We're so naive up here. We think that people actually, you know, want to run for office because they want to serve. But I want to say that you guys have a really good chance here. This is a great year to be running, to be Sandra Kennedy and to be Bill Mundell. And with your ally, at least on the Corporation Commission, that you can actually get some positive things done So there is really good reasons for electing Bill Mundell and Sandra Kennedy.
So let's talk to our candidate for treasurer, and then we'll open it up. Because
Is Mark still here? I'll have to wake him up.
All of you folks focus basically on economic issues, and I know that these are not the sexiest issues out there, what the Corporation Commission does, what the treasurer does, but they're very important. So tell us about the treasurer. What can you do as treasurer? You talked earlier about at the meeting about Proposition 108.
Steve, thank you, and greetings to all of your listeners. I also, before I forget, I want to return to a comment Mike just made about the naivete of voters thinking that people running for office actually want to serve, because I share that naivete. And that's why I actually am excited and pleased to be on the campaign trail with people like Bill and Sandra, who have proven records of service and obviously do want to serve. And I put myself in that same category. You asked about Prop 108, and that may be a little bit
further into the weeds than I should start off with. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You've run for Corporation Commission.
I did. Last decade, I ran actually twice, 2004 and 2006. This is like deep confessions. You know, the good news is that I've got a lot of exposure to the state of Arizona. I think I wore out a couple of cars driving around. And the bad news was that I lost both times. I was rewarded, and you can't see the air quotes, but I was rewarded by becoming the Maricopa County Democratic Party chairman for a couple of years, taking my own stab at getting rid of Joe Arpaio. After all of that political involvement, I had to take a break, and that was just about the time when the Masters of the Universe in New York and Washington managed to crash the economy. What did Michael Lewis call it? The Big Short.
The Big Short.
Great book, great movie. Anyway, I'm a lawyer. I've been in private practice for about 30 years now. Last 25 of it, of that 25 years of that time, I've been doing a lot of property tax enforcement work. And to put that in other terms, I help the governments, mostly county governments, collect property taxes when property owners aren't paying them. Well, I got to see firsthand what happened in 2010. This is after the crash had already happened. But then our legislature, and it's not so infinite wisdom, created the self-inflicted wound of SB 1070. And that, on top of the mortgage crash, led a lot of people to just pack up and leave. I said, well, if I'm not welcome here and I have no equity in my property, what's the point in sticking around? And there were big swaths of Phoenix, particularly. This affected other parts of the state where there has been a lot of growth. You probably heard stories about the town of Maricopa and Pinal County. But big parts of Phoenix where people had qualified for these easy money loans, so they really had no equity in the property. Then they were told because of their identity to get lost, or we're going to come get you and get you lost. They left in no time at all. Scavengers were invading those abandoned houses and tearing out the copper and the wiring and the plumbing. And it turned into a gigantic blight problem for the city of Phoenix. This is getting a little bit off topic. We're not talking about Prop 108 yet.
I had a friend who they couldn't pay the mortgage anymore.
Yeah.
And the bank told them, please stay on the property. Don't go away.
Don't leave.
Even if you're not paying us, stay there.
They came to that finally.
Yeah, because they were desperate
after these blights
to try to protect the property from what you're talking about.
Well, a lot of the financial institutions were slow to come to that realization that it was in their own interest not to crush people. But in the meantime, a lot of people did get crushed. And I've seen this from the sort of after the fact vantage point of a cleanup guy trying to deal with the blight problems. Like Mayor Stanton of Phoenix actually appointed me and one of the city council persons to joint chair a blight remediation committee for the city of Phoenix. We had three public hearings and then took recommendations to the city, which were unanimously adopted. And we don't have all Democrat or all Republican city council, so that was a good thing.
Guys down there.
The idea was that the city should start enforcing its own liens ahead of the property tax ones because they could ameliorate the blight problems much sooner than waiting for tax lien parties to come in and take care of
them. There are innovative things that can be done. And as treasurer, can you do similar things in that position?
Yeah, well, thank you for putting the question that way, Steve. Nice segue. I shouldn't be.
Well, I was going to ask you about, we were going to discuss the next 30 minutes about investment pools, which I think would really excite our rates of return on investment pools, which will really excite our listeners.
You know,
but instead, I ask you this question.
I'm disappointed. I can see the tracks of the tears on my face, right?
I can see how much you want to talk about rates of return, because that is part of what the treasurer does, right?
Well, yeah, this big focus on responsibility of investing the state's assets, managing about $14 billion and getting reasonable rates of return. The policy of the office is safety first, liquidity, and then rate of return. So it's actually not the highest priority because of the high fiduciary standard for that office holder, like the corporation commissioners, actually, who also have high fiduciary standards, which we see are not being met by our current corporation commission. You've mentioned this Prop 108 thing a couple of times. Do you mind if I talk a little more about that?
Please.
It keeps Arizonans from controlling something that's very important.
This is one of those bottom
line
things that we like to get.
Well, this is a very important structural issue, and we have to give it more attention than it's received. Arizona embarked on a long-term experiment, which I believe has gone horribly wrong and off the rails. In 1992, 26 years ago, our state constitution was amended by a vote of Arizonans in the tide of the Reagan Revolution, thinking they needed a drownable government. And so they thought, well, one way we can stop this government from growing is to require 2/3 approval in both houses of our legislature for any measure that would raise revenue. And, okay, well, you can understand that. Things seem to be going, well, if we keep growing, then we don't really need to be raising taxes because the growth itself will fund government. And I think that was part of the sales pitch. If you look at the ballot magazine that was sent out, there was only one statement against this proposition, and that was the one that was required to be written by the legislative council of the state legislature. Otherwise, everybody was on board with this idea. It's possible, hopefully your listeners won't disagree with me, it's possible for us to be wrong sometimes. And I think in the long term, Arizonans were wrong on adopting this constitutional amendment. So, again, it requires 2/3 vote of both houses of the legislature plus the governor's signature to raise revenues. If you have a disagreeable governor, but you want to raise revenues, then you need a supermajority of 3/4 of both houses to overcome that. Well, let's say that's not just not feasible, it's impossible. I think that's the practical answer. And so what that means is more than two decades of candidates pandering through promised tax cuts and the oncoming prosperity that tax cuts will give us, we've seen about $4 billion, some people say $14 billion cut out of our annual budget because of the aggregate effects of all these tax cuts and credits that have been granted by the legislature. There's one very recent one, 2011, as a result of that real estate crash and economy crash for Arizona. The legislature said, okay, we're going to phase in a corporate tax cuts over the next 5 years of about $520 million, and $500 million. The reason for this is that this will stimulate the job creators to give us more jobs and spin up the Arizona economy. Well, the results are in, and the results are not that exciting. The Grand Canyon Institute, the Arizona Center for Economic Progress, which is a spinoff of the Children's Action Alliance, are all evaluating these things. And they're pointing out that if you take out the high and the low states' in our region, namely Utah at the high end and New Mexico at the low end in terms of job creation calculations over the last 6 or 7 years, Arizona actually suffered and did not create as many jobs as California, Nevada, or Colorado, which did not inflict these wounds on themselves the way our state legislature did. What's so gross about this is that because of Prop 108, acknowledging the mistake and correcting it is impossible. So we're stuck with those corporate tax cuts indefinitely.
And it sounded really good at the time. We'll tie their hand. We'll never have a tax rate. And, and according to the Reagan logic, you never would ever need it no matter what. You just can cut things.
Well, I remember there was a Phoenix business writer named John Talton, who a hero of mine, that is no longer here. But he was the only voice that said you can't – growth is not the only commodity that a state should base its economy on. And, of course, they ran him out of town. He's in Seattle. But it took him a long time, though, and he wrote for quite a while. But that
he hasn't given up yet. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
You know, you can still find John Talton, rogue columnist.
Rogue columnist,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm a fanboy, too.
Oh, right.
Okay. Also a mystery writer, right?
That's right.
Some great mysteries.
David Mapstone Mysteries.
We're joking a little bit around with Corporation Commission candidates and you as treasurer about – because it's kind of wonkish, right? The whole issue. Corporation Commission is kind of a wonkish thing. And when you even say the name, people go, I don't know. And treasurer, what does the treasurer do? Well, he manages the money of Arizona, and it's a considerable amount of money.
But these are two big, Arizona unique, not the treasurer's unique institution, but the way we do our Corporation Commission is fairly unique. And the way we do our state treasurer as a statewide election and the responsibilities that he or she has is fairly unique. So, and it was designed to be people driven and citizen centered. And I think that is the one thing that has changed. So we got Mark Monell sitting next to me running for state treasurer. We got Bill Mundell running for Arizona Corporation Commission as a Democrat. And Sandra Kennedy running for Corporation Commission. This is hopefully a great year. I think all of these folks will affect some great change. Mark, tell us a little more about what goes on at the state treasurer's office.
Well, there's the managing the money and overseeing the investments. Treasurer's also among those things and most significantly, perhaps for a lot of your listeners, is the state land trust,
right,
which is the source, the future source, not just the present source, but it's supposed to be used and dedicated primarily for public education in the state. And you may remember Prop 123 from a couple of years ago.
Yes, the bait and switch.
This is actually an effort to settle some very long-standing litigation that the Arizona Center for Law and the Public Interest had initiated on behalf of people who said, hey, legislature, you're not meeting your statutory requirements to fund education properly. And the folks defending the legislature said, well, we can just keep litigating this, or, hey, we've got this other great idea. We'll put a proposition to the voters to settle our litigation. And this vote will be a sales tax increase plus a drawdown in advance on the state land trust fund. And that passed, as you know. It passed, but it was a Hobson's choice for Arizonans because a lot of people who gave it any thought knew that, well, we are already relying on sales taxes too much in our state. We are extremely regressively taxed, and we're in.
Explain why a sales tax is regressive as opposed to a state income tax or.
Well, generally, income taxes and property taxes go up and down depending on value for the people involved. Sales taxes are a consumption tax, but they they fall more heavily on people at the lower end of the economic spectrum, whose consumption is essentially living, paying their expenses. So we have the Center for Law and the Public Interest and the Arizona Center for Economic Progress publishing figures about how the lower 20% pay almost three times as much of their income in taxes as do the top 1%.
Let's repeat that statistic.
Yep.
Repeat that statistic for me.
The folks in the lowest 20% income bracket in our state pay almost three times as much of their income in taxes as do the top 1%. So it's kind of an unfair system to be rigged that way, and we need to take, if we can get Prop 108 either amended or repealed, we need to take a look at things like a fairer income tax that's spread out among income earners. We need to look again at property taxes. There was a state-level property tax that was completely eliminated by the legislature, and that's a very stable and predictable source of revenue for the government. That land isn't going anywhere. You can tweak the tax rates depending on the environment of the economy, but it's there. It's a strong tax base.
Let's open the conversation to all three of you. I mean, we've got Arizona. The whole industrial world is now doing well economically, and the United States is doing well, and places that have raised taxes like California are doing even better than everybody else.
Certain sectors are doing well.
So what can we do? How can the three of you contribute to the success of Arizona and Arizona's economy?
Steve, I want to respond first. I hope you don't mind my jumping in here. But there's another alarming figure that comes out of studying the state budget, and that is that it's become a typical game in budgeting to push the last payment that's due to public education into the next fiscal year so that they don't run a deficit in the budget. And that rollover, that's the term they use to describe it, has in the past been 3 or 4%, but it's been growing. And now it's up to about 10% of the budget being pushed into the next year. So it's a shell game. And you've heard about the rainy day fund, right? This is supposed to help us address financial calamities and meet shortfalls in our government. Well, that rollover is about, I think it's more than twice the size of the rainy day fund that the state has.
Wow.
So there's a lot of shell game business going on. We have to kind of demand more honesty. The treasurer's office already publishes, along with the Joint Legislative Budget Committee, the budget online. And so that's their nod to transparency.
Yeah, but you've tried reading a budget,
exactly.
Especially online.
Yeah, I hear you, but it's hard not to laugh. I mean, it's like a bad joke. It's like a bad joke, folks, to have the people they're supposed to regulate owning the commission. I mean, I made a joke in the beginning, but it's not just a joke, right? I mean, it's pretty much true.
Well, you talk about economic empowerment. At the commission, when I first got elected in 2008 and started in 2009, one of the things that was very clear to me was within 9 to 12 months of being at the commission and pushing solar and trying to, make Arizona the solar capital of the world, we created nearly 3,000 jobs. So solar is an economic engine that we can use here, not just in southern Arizona, not just in western Arizona, but all over Arizona.
So why is there less solar in Arizona than there is in cloudy New Jersey or in Germany?
Well, the answer is pretty simple, because you have the commission controlled by APS, Pinnacle West, and have elected four commissioners that are anti-solar. I didn't talk about this earlier, but, when I was there, we were one of the first states to require utilities to get a percentage of their electricity from renewables, whether it's solar, wind, et cetera. And we had rebates and incentives to, for rooftop solar initially. And then we also had net metering and how much you get back if you put excess electricity on the grid. And they've gradually been the utilities along with the commissioners have gradually chipped away and made it more difficult and financially viable for people to put solar on their homes. That's why we don't have it, because you have commissioners that don't care about the environment. They don't care about renewable energy. They don't care about solar energy, and they're doing the commission's bidding. Right after the election last year, we talked about it in the last campaign. We said they're going to crush solar, and they did. You know, and you mentioned SRP earlier. So for your, some of your newer listeners, the Salt River Project, the other big utility in the state, rooftop solar is down 97% in their territory since they passed their surcharges and hookup fees. APS, the numbers aren't out yet, but as Sandra said, it's an economic development tool. There have been solar companies since the decisions by the commission that have gone out of business here in Arizona.
Well, listening to Bill Mundell and Sandra Kennedy running for corporation commissioner, we got Mark Manoil here running for state treasurer. We want to make sure we get some of these announcements in, and we can come back to if we have time. I want to talk about the March for Our Lives right here in Sedona, March 24th, Saturday, March 24th. It says 2:30 p.m., rain or shine, rally at Sedona Red Rock High School. This is in solidarity with the students of Parkland, Florida. There's been all over the news, there's been other marches and other sit-ins.
So it's a rally, Mike, and then it's a march, and you can march as long as you want to or as short
as you want. Well, they're going from, they're going to be marching down Main
from
Street.
From high school down to
right, into and the they're running a bus area from Mingus Union High School. And for not only for students, but any other adult that wants to get on the bus, I think there's a couple of school buses coming from Cottonwood. So check on that. You can go to the website, Sedona Action Network, and various other places. We want to talk real quickly about climate conference right here at the Yavapai Community Center, Yavapai College in Sedona, April 12th at 6 p.m. We have a speaker, Dr. Summer, who's going to be from the Biology Department of NEU, is going to be talking about climate change. Kirsten Sinema is going to be in town. They're having a Have a drink with Kirsten. No, it's not have a drink. I'm not. That was my own. Anyway, April 6th, 28th.
Wine and beer will be served. April, it's a fundraiser.
Kirsten Sinema is beginning to have a conversation with a candidate for U.S. Senate running for Jeff Flakes.
Generally, Mike, if they give you wine, it's a fundraiser. If they don't give you wine, it's a meeting.
All right. If we're doing whiskey, it's a Democratic Party, though.
Sounds like
election. That's it. Exactly. April 6, 2018, 3:30 p.m. You're supposed to see Katie Guile at Katie at KirstenCinema.com or 602-292-2754 to RSVP if you want to hang out with Kirsten Sinema. 602-292-2754. See Katie Guile, and I guess you can go to the website. And April 6th, come out and hang out with Kirsten. All right, so we want to remind you that this show and all our shows are on VVID.org. VVID.org has the podcast. You can pick them up on TuneIn sometimes. But let's get back.
You have a minute and a half.
We can go out with some good information.
Any last words, candidates?
Well, I think I'll just give you my website. It's markmanoilforarizona.com. Really appreciate the time today, you guys. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Really enjoyed having you and learned a lot.
I just want to say a couple things. Mark will be a great treasurer. I'm sure you picked up how brilliant he is by listening to him, and he's in running for the right reasons. Bill Mundell for Corporation Commission is my Facebook, and then mundellforarizona.com is my website.
And Sandra Kennedy, and looking forward to getting back to the commission and changing it from the corruption commission.
Absolutely.
Back to the Cooperation Commission.
We do get the idea.
We do ask our listeners.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for helping me out.
You bet. We ask our listeners to pay attention. This is Arizona has become, as far as I'm concerned, the definition of corruption. You just heard from three candidates that will change that. Please go to the websites, Bill Mundell, Sandra Kennedy, Mark Manoil. You can find them. There's clean election issues. And don't forget, this show and all our shows will be on VVID.org. You can listen to our podcast. Thank you.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.